Hi, I'm Ray Zod.
And I'm Connor L.
And we do a Superman podcast.
Called The Last Sons of Krypton. And you are listening to the DCAU podcast.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. Today we are covering Superman Red Sun.
Finally going to the Soviet Union.
So, Red Sun is an adaptation of the 3-issue miniseries by Mark Miller from 2003.
Yeah.
I don't know. I always think this isn't a direct adaptation. They have changed quite a few bits of the plot, as far as I'm aware. But this kind of, I don't know. I always feel very mixed when they're trying to do a direct lift from a famous story.
I kind of like it, but I think you're right. They always change so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, I know they have to make them shorter.
Yeah.
But it always, like, I always wonder about, like, the places where they stray.
That's
like,
the,
because it never seems to make it better.
The one
and
thing
you, and
I
you
actually
see, you see adaptations when they do adaptations in films.
Uh-huh.
They do seem to make it better. You know, so it's interesting.
I mean, this is the actual comic series is about 160 pages. That's one thing actually in this film is I don't know how much, having not read the comic book, and I'd be interested to read the comic book, I think actually it's not that they don't cut a lot out. This film is very much, because it's a film that basically covers from 1946 to 1983.
Yeah, it's massive in its scope.
And inevitably, it does kind of skip through a lot of stuff. A bit like, the more I think about it, the more I kind of go, this reminds me a lot of All-Star Superman.
In terms of how much it covers.
Yeah, spanning a huge range of events.
I mean, it's a really long time. I read it. It's one of the ones I actually have read.
Uh-huh.
But I haven't read it for a long time, like sort of like 20 years. I have no recollection of it except probably what I'd have been able to describe from the film.
Yeah.
But, I remember enjoying it, and it's an interesting idea. But, yeah, it does cover this massive range. Like, I remember at some point in the film, maybe like half an hour from the end or something, and I just sat up and went like, just had to like kind of where are we? What are we doing? You know, like,
yeah, Lex, there's a few bits.
Lex is suddenly losing his hair, and I was like, oh, it's more time passed. It wasn't always clear to me where the jumps in time were.
That is one thing it does kind of fail on a wee bit. Sometimes it's very clear. This is a time jump. This is a time, and then other times it's not. Anyway. So we open the film in 1946. A child is being chased by bullies. His friend, Svetlana, chases the bullies off. And the boy reveals, the reason why I ran away isn't because I was afraid of them. I was afraid of hurting them. We don't do any of the, they don't have any of the, so he landed in Ukraine instead of,
mm-hmm.
In the US.
No, we don't do any of that. We go straight to look how strong I am.
Because I also believe in the comic book, don't they do something bizarre? Like it ends up being a predestination paradox and actually
I really
Superman's...
Remember. I mean,
Superman's like, actually a descendant of Lex Luthor and Lois Lane. Or it's implied heavily.
That's amazing.
It's Mark Miller bullshit. I mean, we know what.
I mean, yeah, he likes stuff like that.
Yeah. So, Svetlana says, no, you should make the government aware of you.
Mm-hmm.
We then get the title cards, and we jump to a decade later with a propaganda film of Superman meeting Stalin and, you know, proving that he's the Soviet Superman.
Yeah.
Which, It's always a fundamentally difficult concept because how on earth can you believe that every man is equal when you've got someone who's provably superior? But
yeah, but then there's something about sort of communism and wanting the best for everyone equally.
Yeah.
That does speak to it in its purest form.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, it is kind of weird because, like, politics always gets in the way. We know what happened to the Soviet Union. We know how it didn't live up to this ideal. We know what happened to America, and it certainly didn't live up to its ideal. You know, obviously, the UK's covered in there as well, darling. I'm not being like, you know, we're not some bastion either. But, oh, like, God, there no. is something about, like, when some of the speeches he gives in this, of that kind of, that view of everyone being equal. I mean, you're right, but then we're not equal physically anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like, so...
And it's clear when he speaks, Superman believes...
Yeah, yeah, he's a...
...in believer. The dogma. Has very... Well, it becomes very clear very quickly. Has been sheltered from some of the less pleasant aspects
yeah,
of Stalinism. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, they basically, like... He's not looked, and they've not told him. So, he's only seeing the ideal...
For only the second time in this podcast, we can say hello to Jason Isaacs.
Yes, hello to Jason Isaacs, who's brilliant.
Oh, he's brilliant in this film. Actually, the whole voice cast is
really
good.
They are very, very good. I enjoyed all of them.
Yeah. So... Superman then saves... Metropolis from a falling Russian satellite, which somehow doesn't cause a tsunami when he drives it into the sea.
Well, you know.
Lois Lane Luthor, because in this film, Lois Lane and Lex Luthor are a married couple.
Of course.
But Lois Lane tries to interview him in front of the public. He kind of backs away and then talks to her at the Daily Planet. Superman, he actually, and then also Lois gives him a file which is proof of some of the actions of the USSR. It later turns out all of this has been set up by Lex.
Yes, he's just as scheming-y as always.
That's one thing with this film in general is. And I do like this idea that, no, everyone's kind of morally grey.
Yeah.
Including Superman himself, which, like, it's not like, for example, Injustice, where it's like, no, he is absolutely evil, bad, there's no question. He is actually kind of...
Yeah. He's the ultra-capitalist in this one, isn't he?
Well, Lex is the ultra-capitalist and... Well, we'll get to what happens with Superman.
Yeah.
So, Superman finds a gulag. / labor camp.
Yeah.
It's been lead-lined so that he couldn't find it. Also, at one point, a young boy... insults him and then bats fly behind him. I wonder if this is setting something up. He then finds Svetlana at the camp.
Which is very random, but yeah.
Well, the explanation that she gives is, no. They put me in here because I knew you before you were...
Right, but what I mean is that at the time he finds it, that she would be right there is the bit that I'm doubting. Not that she would be put in a work camp, but that there would be that just has to happen to be the one he finds and right there. But you know, it works.
Well, it's a shorthand.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a big criticism of it. It just made me chuckle.
And it leads to. 20 minutes into the film, Superman kills Stalin.
Amazing.
There's like 20 minutes in the film, I'm sitting there going, oh, is this going to be, and he starts, no, he just kills Stalin.
Yeah, that's
what
he says he doesn't kill. This was an amazing death, I enjoyed that.
Also, I do like, Because one other thing, when I was talking about the kind of morally grey, Superman's suit changes colour throughout the film.
Yeah.
So he starts out with a kind of toned down version of the Superman suit, and by the end he's basically wearing pure grey, black and red.
Yeah.
So we also get involved. So the version of Jimmy Olsen that exists in this universe is an agent who is working with Lex and Lois.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Just like completely randomly. But I liked him, obviously, because I like all versions of Jimmy.
And also it leads to President Jimmy Olsen, so.
Yeah.
So Superman is now the leader of the USSR. Lex is beginning to clone Superman.
Yeah, that was a bit weird. Like, where does he get all his cloning ability?
Well, I think it's the idea is sort of, because they kind of put this hand wave of, oh, Lex is like so smart that technology's 50 years ahead of where it would be otherwise.
But that doesn't really make any sense, but okay.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, we don't have that in current Superman timeline. But that's fine.
I mean,
it's fine. I'm willing to go with it.
Well, isn't that the whole, that's what Superboy is in,
yeah,
Reign
that's
of
true.
The Superman.
That's true.
So it is a kind of,
he's into cloning regardless, yeah.
Yeah. So Superman has led to a rapid expansion of the Soviet Union, starting with him pretty much single-handedly ending the Korean War.
Especially all the Warsaw Pact countries, right?
Yeah. It's all the Warsaw Pact. It's kind of implied later on that it's not quite every country but the USA, but it's not far off, ends up being part of the Soviet Empire. So Lex reveals Superior Man, who...
Which is a ridiculous name, but okay. Hey, okay, Mark Miller, we know you like the name Superior.
I think Superior Man's actually... It's not, because I think they call him Superman 2 in the comic book.
Mm.
So, actually, this is a different...
Maybe it is just a nod to Mark Millar. He also wrote Superior, right?
Yes. So, Superior Man is actually a version of Bizarro. And, heck, anything that gives Travis Willingham work is good in my book.
Yeah, I mean, you could certainly see that by how he ended, but yeah.
He also voices Guy Gardner in this film.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Superman meets Diana, Wonder Woman, who is a representative of Themyscira. I don't know if she's basically the ambassador or exactly where they're going with it. I'm assuming this is directly from the comic book, because it was an early 2000s comic book. Oh, Wonder Woman is a lesbian.
Well, I mean, it kind of makes sense generally. There was a big article about her being bisexual in the comics, because it kind of makes sense. You grow up on an island that's only women.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make sense. It's not that doesn't define your sexuality, but
yeah,
there's probably a high proportion of
absolutely
experimentation, should we say?
Absolutely. Plus Greek, or ancient Greek, which was very much a part of that culture as well, certainly with men. So, anyway, Diana, throughout this whole film, her whole thing is, no, you should be looking for peace, and I can be a bridge. Which, to be fair, is probably about that. I've always liked that idea to Wonder Woman, that she's actually meant to be like a balancing force rather than...
Yeah, but I don't think she should have to be. I really think it's a little bit stereotype where the woman's role in these things. But when you have two, like Superman and Batman, you know, if you're going to have a trinity, she does need a purpose. So.
And it's at this point that Superior Man lands on Russian soil. Because this version of the Cold War is not very cold.
No.
So early on, Superior Man is winning the fight, but Lex Luthor is pumping some sort of energy into Superior Man somehow. They don't quite explain it, but the main effect of it is Superior Man is losing intelligence, he's losing coherence, he's getting more powerful, but it ends up with insanity and coherent. Superior Man ends up being reduced to liquid, and it's quite it's horrifying to watch. I actually found that's probably one of the most disturbing things we've covered in this podcast.
Yeah, probably.
Also, is not from the comic book, because the comic book, I think, Superior Man does a self-sacrifice. Lex then goes, oh, no, we never thought he would actually win. We just wanted to kind of see what Superman's limits are in this film. Yeah, we were sending this guy off to die, which Lois is not happy about. Because Lois is about the closest we have in this film to an actual moral character.
Yeah.
Also, a little bit later, Superman destroys the Berlin Wall, which had just been built.
It had just been built. But he already knew it would be a bad one.
So we then cut to, and it's kind of done in passing. Oh, Brainiac attacks and miniaturizes Stalingrad.
Yeah.
Brainiac then defeats him and uses Brainiac as sort of a computer system to manage the USSR. He can't fix Stalingrad.
Yes. It's a bit weird that Brainiac suddenly like shows up in his, but yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Brainiac shows up, Superman does defeat him, and we then cut to, it's now 1967, and also now that he's captured Brainiac, one thing that it does lead to is Superman is lobotomizing dissidents.
Yeah. That
which
was
kind of
bit...
comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's one thing that the kind
it comes
of...
comes out of absolutely nowhere.
It is one issue I do have with this film, is it's just like, oh yeah, Superman just starts pulling some of the Stalinist tactics. Just...
Yeah.
And we don't get to see why. That's the thing. If the maybe had done a few scenes, or if this is what triggered it, because the next series of events is the Batman starts to attack Superman's regime. Mm-hmm. Batman is he's a straight terrorist. He's just killing freely. I don't know if it's even that he's... It's not quite clear if they're trying to imply that he's an anarchist or an anti-authoritarian, or if it's just he hates Superman because Superman didn't save his parents.
I assumed it was just the parents, but also that they were setting up as Batman also had this inbuilt... wherever Batman is, he's always going to have a sense of justice, and even if it's not our sense of justice.
Yeah. So... Wonder Woman is also there, and Superman literally uses the phrase, not all men.
Mm-hmm.
So if you didn't know, he's a sort of bad guy by now. Meanwhile, Lex Luthor is working with President Kennedy and Hal Jordan because they found a Green Lantern ship.
Yeah.
And they take the lantern ring off of the alien pilot's corpse. So, Meanwhile, we get a scene with Superman and Diana in the Brainiac lab or whatever, wherever the...
Yeah, I don't know where that is.
But it's effectively being used almost as a sort of brawler eye. We find out that the US at this point is really toiling.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Diana's mother is saying that the Themyscira embassy should be shut.
I mean, yeah, because they want to go back to...
Yep. And also there's a scene where Superman realizes he is not respected, he is feared.
Yes. And unsurprisingly, given that he's lobotomizing people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And he is so infinitely more powerful than anything that any military's got.
Yeah.
This is when Batman attacks again, captures Wonder Woman.
Yeah, ties her up with her lasso.
Which, now I don't know if this is just a thing for this story or if this, but Wonder Woman's lasso is powered by a part of her soul or something, and effectively it can be used, one, to control her, to apparently make her, to the point where it can literally force her to commit suicide.
Yeah, I don't know, that all seemed very new.
Though apparently it also, if it gets broken, it causes her to age massively. Which, okay.
That's all seemed very random.
So, Batman then attacks Superman with red sun lamps, which were provided to him by Lex Luthor, and then lays a beat down on Superman.
Yeah.
And, like, again, this is actually hard to watch.
This one less so.
Less than the previous one, but it's still like, I mean, I haven't looked what the certification on this film is, but it's,
was this not what we talked about before, having a higher rating than some? Have a quick look.
I mean, it's PG-13 in the US and a 12 in the UK.
Okay, fair enough.
Which surprises me, but okay. Cartoon violence, I suppose. Also, whilst this fight happens, Batman directly compares Superman to Stalin.
Mm-hmm.
Which, almost this kind of, you've become the very thing that you stood against.
Yeah.
So Wonder Woman is able to break the lasso, which severely weakens her. She depowers the sun lamps, and then, rather than letting himself be captured and lobotomized, Batman kills himself.
It's very dramatic, always.
Oh, Batman. Meanwhile, Wonder Woman is completely disillusioned with the world of man, and goes, "I'm out. Bye-bye."
Perhaps unsurprisingly.
So we then cut to 1983, where Lex Luthor is now the President of the United States. And it's caused the country to really turn a corner.
Yeah, everything's going great.
Meanwhile, the communist states are starting to turn on Superman, and Brainiac, who's suggested this a couple of times before in the film, goes, "Attack America. Look, just go straight attack, go to war with America." At this point, they notice that some sort of air force is on its way. Because America now has a Green Lantern Corps. So yeah, we get a fight between Superman and a Green Lantern Corps where Hal Jordan's leading it, John Stewart's there, Guy Gardner's there, and it's quite a large fight until Wonder Woman interrupts and says, can we please just stop fighting? Which leads to Superman attacking Wonder Woman. And
it's just to show you just how crazed he's got.
And yeah, Wonder Woman just goes, okay, that's it. Peace out, we're gone, bye bye. You sort yourselves out. So, after defeating the Lantern, Superman and Brainiac literally arrive straight to the White House.
They might as well go straight there.
Where there are no defences of any kind when they arrive. And Lois Lane comes out and goes, yeah, I've got Stalingrad. why is it still in a bottle?
Because, I don't know, they never... isn't that what they discuss next? About how, like, he could have reversed it, but no one ever asked him to.
Well, it's not even that he... So what ends up happening is, she goes, well, Brainiac could have fixed it. Superman then goes, No, he was damaged. He couldn't have fixed it. To which Brainiac reveals, oh no, I could have fixed it the whole time. But you didn't actually want me to. And it's, I think Lois even says to him, you can't, why don't you just put the whole world in the bottle? Because that's what you actually want. At this point, Brainiac turns on Superman, destroys Stalingrad, and reveals, no, I was never reprogrammed. I just realized you were useful to my purposes. So Lex Luthor and Superman, because Lex Luthor has a power suit, because he always has a power suit. And Lex is able to team up with Superman. They then are able to successfully destroy Brainiac. The side effect of this is it starts a self-destruct sequence in Brainiac's shift. So Superman flies off into space as the ship explodes.
Anyway, so yeah, apparently that's how Superman dies.
So yeah, Superman dies in this massive explosion. We then cut to the end of the film, which is Lex Luthor resigning.
Hooray.
And handing over the presidency to Jimmy Olsen. Where we also see in the crowd, oh no, Superman's not dead.
Because how could he be?
Because he's Superman. And yeah, that was Superman Red Sun, which is alright. Yeah. we do have a review from someone else. So Connor McKenna actually sent us feedback.
Yes, good Connor.
So
I'll read out verbatim.
Yeah. Yes, unfortunately, Rebecca is podcasting unwell.
So. Yeah, I'm trying to save you all from my coughing my guts up, but it's pretty bad. So, apologies for all my silences.
Yeah. So anyway, for the message from Connor. So, just some feedback for Superman Red Sun. Well, to start off, woeful, cheap, and lazy art style animation, which I agree with. The actual animation isn't fantastic. My other big problem is Wonder Woman completely changed from the original story because she's huge now, so can't have her show any flaws whatsoever. She literally comes in at the end in all white with basically a literal halo on her head to beat everyone up and tell them how silly they are and leave. Men suck, we get it, every damn scene. It also cheapens the motivations of all the character and really dumbs it down when she just rides in to say everyone is wrong, Amazonians are perfect. Wonder Woman sucks, Amazonians suck. Also, they really nerfed Superman, who is able to take out both her and the Green Lanterns in the book. Not to harp on about it, but having her come and in beat everyone up and leave really lowers the tension. I don't remember if they kept fighting after or not. Mm-hmm. Also, one of the Green Lanterns makes some dumb line about women. None of the sexism was present in the original comic book.
Interesting, especially as it's Mark Miller.
Yeah, no, absolutely. On to the positives. I really like the twist with Superman killing Stalin. The war crimes and cramps were never really addressed in the original story or how Superman would react to them. That's probably about it. Did not like this one at all, although J.M. DeMatteis did a cool interview with Capes and Lunatics, another member of the Collective Network, and seems to have a really good grasp on Superman. But unfortunately, I have never read a really good Superman story by him.
Miller. Oh, Mateus.
DeMatteis, who I think is... I'm just going to have a quick look here. He's the guy who did the screenplay for this film.
Ah, right. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, this... So that was Superman Red Son, which is... Obviously, it's a one-off of adaptation. I think I get the impression we're both more positive on it than Connor was.
It may be purely because the comic's better.
Yeah. So, the next film we've got come up, talking about Total Whiplash, after Superman Red Son, which is... a very dark, both physically and literally, film. We have Lego DC Shazam.
That should be fun.
Magic and Monsters, which is the last Lego DC film.
Boo.
Followed that by, oh god, another Total Whiplash, Justice League Dark Apocalypse War.
Now that'll be fun.
That will be fun, though it is... The clips I have seen from it, it's very much a, oh, you're not a character we want to feature. Prepare to be murdered in the most gruesome way imaginable, generally with limbs being torn off. Yeah. Then we are...
But is that in Lego, right?
No, unfortunately not.
Oh, no, sorry, now we're on to Apocalypse, yeah.
Apocalypse War, because I think Apocalypse War, I think might be an 18.
I think you said that before.
I'm gonna double check that now. But I'm fairly sure it actually gets billed as a 15 or an 18. It's a 15 in the UK and it's an R in the US.
Okay.
After that, we are doing, we're looking at the short films, the DC Showcase films. Then straight into the new reboot, which is Superman Man of Tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
And then Deathstroke, Knights and Dragons.
Oh, cool. Interesting, yeah.
So that's everything that's coming up soon. Is there any other podcasts that you have appeared on recently?
No. No, not since we last spoke. I think it was the last time I did a Moon Knight one as well.
Right, okay. Though you might be making a slight cameo appearance on one of the podcasts soon. The one that... Feedback for Connor?
Oh, I'm going to do some feedback for Connor on one of the Superman issues that he's doing.
So that would be on Last Sons of Krypton, then?
Yes, Last Sons of Krypton. We're going to look at Master Men from Multiversity.
Okay, fantastic.
Just the Grant Morrison thing.
Meanwhile, I'm still doing my robot podcast, Rise of the Robots, which we are... Yeah, by the time this comes out, we will still be covering Robot Wars Series 5, though we are starting to get towards the end of it now.
Nice.
Yeah. It's one thing, see, doing the old series of Robot Wars, because they're all, like, 20 weeks.
It's a lot.
Oh, it's incredible. It's... Yeah, we've only got two more of the big series of Robot Wars to go. Three, because there's Robot Wars Extreme Series 2 as well. So, yeah, we're just getting through all that. And, yep, we'll be back in 2 weeks' time with Lego Shazam!
Yay!
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.